Shout out to Obradovich and Etudis, you know, because I know it wasn't all over. I know it gave them a lot of headaches, man.
What up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome to another episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. Today, we have a very special episode. A legend in capital letters in EuroLeague basketball, just basketball in general. I mean, this guy is, you know, one of the all-time greats, you know, one of the greatest, you know, Americans to play in EuroLeague basketball and overseas basketball, period. He's currently the assistant coach of the Houston Rockets. He's a three-time EuroLeague champion, has won domestic championships and all type of trophies and awards and accolades, and we can go on and on. And that is the legendary Mike Matisse. Mike, what's up, man? Thank you for taking the time.
Anytime, man. Like I told you earlier, man, I got the call and they said, "Hey, Kyle, want to interview?" I was like, "Just let me know. I'll make the time, and we'll make it happen."
I appreciate it, man. Like I said, it means a lot. Now I'm gonna jump right into it because we don't got a whole lot of time. I know you're busy. You on the road right now. So, you know, with that being said, you know, because you have your day job and, you know, you're with the Rockets and doing different things, how much EuroLeague basketball are you watching nowadays?
I mean, as much as I can. You know, you know, EuroLeague basketball comes on like 1, 2 o'clock up over here, like midday. So it's like a perfect time for me to watch the game. And depending on if I'm at the arena or I'm at home, like I either go right into, you know, my responsibilities, you know, with the Rockets, or I hop in my car and I get to the Toyota Center and I carry on, you know, my responsibility throughout the night. So
who are some of the favorite teams that you like to watch? I mean, obviously, Panther Bakos. I mean, I know they're near and dear to your heart, but who are some of the favorite teams that you usually watch it?
Oh, man, listen, I've watched the Olympiacos play. I've watched Barcelona play. I've watched Madrid play. I've watched Fener Monaco. I've got a chance to watch enough teams to know how strong the EuroLeague is. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you look after those top four or five teams, I mean, it's a gauntlet match. And it's a fight for those, you know, those last three, four spots to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the special part about EuroLeague. I mean, especially this year that, you know, like they have the tagline, every game matters. To you, what makes EuroLeague basketball so special?
Like you see it, it's the every game, you know, matter mentality. You know what I'm saying? It's 40 minutes, you know, over here is 48 minutes. So the moment that ball is tossed in the air, like that jump ball means something. Like, to, you know, that first possession means something. It sets the tone for everything, you know what I mean, that you do offensively and defensively. So even though, like, I feel like the EuroLeague is really tough in competition right now, but in my time, we still had that same mentality, you know what I mean? So every game was important. Sometimes you can lose one or two games. It can really, you know, put you in a bad standing. So every game matters, even now 2023, and even, you know, when I checked out in 2014, you know what I mean, the same moniker still applies, and that's what makes EuroLeague very special.
We talked about a little before, but it's like, it seemed like, honestly to me, like just yesterday, like he was just there in EuroLeague, and it's like you said, 2014, almost, you know, 10 years has passed since you last played. Yeah. Do you miss it? Do you miss it? I mean, do you miss the competitive spirit? Do you miss the competition playing in EuroLeague?
Of course I do. And, you know, even, you know, being assistant coach, and, you know, you know, we're playing, I guess, you know, some of the best players in the world, like in my association, like sometimes, you know, your competitive fire kicks in and it's like you talk to one of the players and they're like, "Oh, snap." I'm just like, "Look, man, my bad, but you know, you can't just like take your foot off the gas pedal. You know, you got to understand and certain guys like who you're playing with, and to get respect like from your peers is the ultimate honor. And, you know, when you're playing against, you know, guys that you grew up idolizing or guys that you respect, you know, you want to have that respect level from those guys. And so I'm just trying to get these young guys to play as hard as they can every single possession. You know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, but when they do, it's a very beautiful picture, and you know that the process is fulfilling.
Now, I talked about the process. You know, you immediately when you retired in 2014, you jumped right into coaching. So what made you, you know, want to become a coach, and what are some of the most, like, you know, gratifying parts of coaching for you?
I wanted just to stay around the game. You know, I just didn't really know what level it was. And then I got the call from David Griffin, who's now the general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans.
Shout out to Griff. Great guy.
Yeah, you know, that's my brother right there, man. Shout out to Dave Griffin. You know, he gave my agent a call and heard that I was, like, on the fence, shifty-shifty about retiring or possibly playing another year. But he was like, listen, if Mike, you know, choose to retire, just let him know, hey, we have a spot here in the G League in Canton, Ohio. If he wants to come down here and just give these kids his knowledge and experience, whatever, we would love to have him. So when I finally made the decision to retire, I went, you know, joined the Cleveland Cavaliers Cats in Charge organization. The head coach was Jordy Fernandez, who was now the associate head coach with the Sacramento Kings. And I just told myself, listen, I'm going to go down there, be around the game. If I don't like it, I'll try to find something else to do. Mm-hmm. But when I got down there, you know, I started to like everything that was never really given to me from some standpoint. You know, as a player, you just come in, you know, you get your ankles taped, you get your therapy, you lift your weights, right? You get the game plan from a coach, and you know, you locked in. But now I get to see what's on the other side of the fence, how they prepare, how they stress, you know what I mean? How they try to put guys in the right position to succeed. And as a coach, I have to worry about all 12, 15 players like that. Like before with myself, I just worried about like how I do my job, my responsibility, and you know, how I can lead from that position, from that position, you know, with my responsibility. So that was one thing that really intrigued me. And even now, you know, with the young group that we have here in Houston, it's a perfect opportunity for, you know, like my leadership and everything, because I've been 20 years old, 21 years old. We have a balance of American players. We have some European players as Usman Garuba, Alperen Şengün, Boban Marjanović. So we have some guys from Europe that, you know, respect me and see me play. So they know that when I say certain things, it's paramount, you know what I mean? Because they know I've played the game. And with the background that I have of me being a coach now, it's to me, it's like a double-edged sword. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's that. Those are the things that got me into it, and those are the things that are gravitating to me now, just because there's so many European players that are in the NBA right now, and they've seen me play at one point in time, or they heard about me at one point in time. So to be coaching those guys, it's a full circle moment for me.
You know, there's so many European players that are in the NBA, as you just said, and so many of those young guys watched you play when they were growing up. And I'm sure many of those guys come up to you and pay homage or show respect or talk about, you know, the inspiration. So what does that mean to you? You know what I mean? It's like when these guys come up, some of these superstars, I'm sure like the Lukas and even like the Giannis's and the Masses and, you know, like Bobons, all these different guys. What does it mean to you when these guys come up to you and they say something to you, like what type of feeling does that give you?
Man, it's a chilling moment. I'm not going to lie. You know what I mean? Because these guys are the greatest in the association. You know what I mean? And in some part, they're inspiring me. You know what I mean? Because I get to watch these guys on a night in and night out basis, and I get to steal some of their blueprint in terms of how you teach guys footwork, pump fakes. You know, you're taking stuff from Luka, you're taking stuff from Giannis, you're taking stuff from Jokic. But to get those guys just to shake my hand and to say, hey, like, I watched you play at Pan tonight, go watch when you use Adi Matias with Spanulis. It's, trust me, man, it sends a chill down your spine to know that you inspired them just a little bit. You know what I mean? And just to have that honor, man, it's really an unbelievable feeling.
I'm sure it is. And then, you know, I want to know also, too, that you, most of the time in your career, you worked with Coach Obradovich, who's considered one of the greatest coaches, you know, of all time in Europe and of all time. I wonder, now that you're a coach, do you have, like, a new appreciation of, like, you know, some of the things that he was trying to tell you back then? Or so, because I'm sure, like, you as a player, you know, we get it. We, like, you know, he don't know what he's talking about, or you kind of, like, yeah, like, I don't. But now as a coach, you're like, you know what? I kind of get it more, like, what he was trying to do.
And that's why I said basketball is a full circle. It's full circle for me, because you know how like your coach is trying to like push you to your limits, and you, like you said, you're just letting it go through one and out the other. Like, man, why is he on me right now?
Yeah.
But I get the care factor. I get the competitive spirit that was inside of Obradovich. And even though I'm not a player anymore. Like, I'm still a competitor. Like, I want to win with my mind. We play Uno with my kids, board games, anything, like with my wife, my family. Like, man, I want to win, and I'm upset, like, when I lose, and I want to keep playing till I win. And sometimes it's a mental drag, like, for my family, because, you know, they don't know that I don't like to call it quits.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just the chip that I had internally inside of me when I was a player, and that chip internally is still inside me as a coach. So, I totally get it now. It's just like, you remember how your mom and dad used to tell you certain things? You'd be like, man, whatever. Like, you know, and now you got kids. Like, I remember I told my mom, like, 5 or 6 years ago, I was like, Mom, I totally understand now. Like, everything
that I did the same thing.
Raises the sacrifices, the discipline. Like, I was like 35 years old at this point in telling her this, but, like, I totally understand. Yeah. And so, like, I had a full circle moment as a parent, you know what I mean, as a husband and a father. And now I'm having a full circle moment, you know what I'm saying, as a coach. So it gives me a very wide perspective on life and the game.
I can imagine. I've done the same thing. I've actually, like, called my mom and apologized. I'm like, no, mom, I'm sorry. I did. My grandkids is running around. They're not listening to me. I get it.
Yeah. Right.
Now, talking about full circle moment, you know, two of your former teammates, Kill Bill, Spinolis, and Sardis, are coaches in Europe, Sardis of Barcelona, you know, Billy, you know, in Greece. Now, for you, would you ever, you know, with you having so much success in Europe, so much success in EuroLeague, and now as an assistant coach in the association for the last, you know, almost 10 years, would you ever see yourself coming back to Europe to be a coach, or do you have ambitions of possibly even coaching here or possibly being a head coach here?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, I've never, you know, shut the door down to those opportunities. You know, my name is always linked with Panathinaikos, and of course, you know how that goes, but those are just, you know, to me, those are just rumors. Nothing ever really seriously happened from my end or their end. So, but yeah, man, I'm totally open to anything. You know, I've been close to 10 years coaching now. And when you watch games in NBA, you watch games in EuroLeague, there are a lot of similarities and styles of play. And, you know, I wonder if stuff that we run here to NBA can work over there in Europe. And I wonder if stuff that, you know, we ran in Europe in my time at Panathinaikos can work here. So, it's definitely an opportunity or something that I see doing in the future. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's when I'm 60 years old. I have no idea. But coaching is a worldwide conglomerate now, and you know, to be a head coach anywhere, man, it's a real unbelievable honor. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm gonna keep knocking down these doors here and see how far it can take me here. I would love to be a head coach here in the NBA, but, you know, if there's another opportunity arises, then I'll look into it and see if it's best for me and my family.
Definitely. Now, as an American player, for me, you were the benchmark, right? When I first came to Europe, everybody said, Mike Batiste. Everybody said, like, if you want to play well, you have to, you know, follow what he did. And for me, I mean, I told you this before, but, like, you were that benchmark. You were the person that I was always trying to, you know, trying to reach, trying to get to that point where, you know, I wanted to be, you know, on the same stage or on the same, you know, kind of pedestal as you was. Now, for you, I want to know if you had advice for other American players, because you know this, that's sometimes the biggest struggle for American players coming overseas to kind of stick around. You were able to have a long career and a long career, successful career in one place. What advice would you give to young American players that want to come over and want to have success in the EuroLeague?
You just got to be open-minded, you know what I mean? Because, like, you're going into another world, uncharted territory, different people, different language, different religion, different culture.
Yeah.
It's tough, because I remember my first year in Belgium, like, I want to go home every single day, man. I would look out the window and I'm like, it's over. Like, yeah. I'm ready to call my mom right now until I'm ready to pack my bags and go. But then if I go back home and everybody saw that I quit, then everybody in my city gonna call me a quitter. That's something that just couldn't hang over my head. So I just had to stick it out. You know, everybody spoke French in Charleroi. Like, the language was tough. Sometimes, you know, you go to the store and you're trying to have a conversation on just to buy something. It was difficult. So you just have to buy in and stick with it, you know? And I think just from our culture in general, just how, you know, the stipulations that we come from or how we grow up, I feel it's a very good test for a lot of us to go up over there and see how we grew up mentally prepares us for situations like that. Like, I didn't know that would prepare me for that. But then it's like the next year I went to Italy, you know, in Biella, the same situation. The language barrier was a little bit different. You know, the people was different, the food, the culture, everything. And it was something that I had to get used to. I was homesick again. Sometimes I wanted to quit, but again, I just kept pushing, showing up to practice every day, getting better. And certain, you know, things just started getting better for me, you know, year by year, day by day, practice by practice. And of course, you know, I took the 1 year in the NBA with Memphis, where I'm at right now. And then, you know, after that 1 year, my journey to Panathinaikos started. So I would just be open-minded to everything. You know, it's going to be difficult. The coaching style is going to be difficult. Some of your teammates, it's going to be difficult just because they're just different. Their demeanor is different. Their culture is different. So all that stuff really takes an open-minded person. It really takes a lot of buy-in to really be accepted. You know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, you want to be accepted and you want to be respected again from your teammates and from your peers. And once you get into that type of bubble, that type of company, then, you know, good things are going to happen for you.
I agree, man. I think that's perfect advice. That's what I learned early on, that you have to be open-minded. Open-minded to everything. And I think once you have that, you know, you have the ability to kind of be as successful as you want to be. I think that's great advice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was always, you know, it wasn't always easy for me. You know what I mean? Like, even my first couple of years in Panathinaikos wasn't easy for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just coming from the NBA, all the freedom that we have to go wild and curfew and this and that. Like, oh, it was a big time adjustment for me. It wasn't no easy cakewalk, you know what I'm saying, my 19 years at Panathinaikos. Like, I had some struggles there, but, you know, Obradovic and Tudis, you know, they put their arm around me. They just, you know, kept pulling me in, kept me on the straight path and narrow to success. And, you know, we all saw what happened now. You know what I mean? Like you said, tons of titles, accolades, you know, comes after that. So, you know, shout out to Obradovic and Tudis, you know, because I know it wasn't all good. I know I gave them a lot of headaches, man. I gave them a lot of headaches.
But in return,
they got what they wanted. You know,
exactly.
For me, I got what they wanted out of them. You know what I mean? It was a perfect relationship for the time that we worked together, man. So it was
for sure. And I'm sure it's a relationship and a bond that'll last forever.
Forever. You know, like, we don't always talk in it every time, but once I send a text or a call, like, they pick up and respond immediately. So, like, that's something I really truly appreciate, you know. And I know that they're busy. I'm busy with my schedule. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, get in contact with one of them sometimes. But, you know, we'll be in contact in the near future.
Your favorite EuroLeague player to watch today, or you can give me a
couple. EuroLeague player to watch today. You know, I'm always rooting for my countrymen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I love watching Mike James. Dwayne Bacon is also a guy that I coach, Charlotte and Orlando. I like watching DB down there, Panathinaikos. I like watching Lorenzo Brown. You know, those are guys I really, really pay attention to.
Your favorite all-time album? I mean, when you at the crib, you know, chilling, or now, I mean, you need to put something on to catch a vibe. What is it?
You know, I'm a West Coast kid. I grew up in Long Beach City. You know, Snoop Dogg is my favorite rapper of all time. Sorry, you know, I'm biased about that too. But if you really saw, like, how Snoop grew up, you know what I mean, I got to see a first-hand view of how he grew up in the slums of the city, and he rose above everything. So that's really inspirational. I also got a chance to see Willie McGinnis, you know, Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, Tyus Edney, Olympiakos, ball player, won a EuroLeague in Zalgiris. These were, like, you know, three guys in my city that everybody looked up to. And if I had one album to knock, it's going to be, you know, the Snoop Dogg first album. You know, you can't go wrong with that, man. Everything about the city, the streets that I walked down to, the liquor stores that we used to go to and buy our snacks, it's all up in there, man. So anytime I throw that on, I can be in Italy right now. You know, I used to
make sure time I used to make you feel like at home.
Well, like, man, I'll be right at home, man. And you know, you throw anything off from Snoop, Dogg Pound, those type of guys from that G-Funk era, I mean, it'll get me going. So I got to be real selective when I listen to those type of albums. Now I'm 45 years old. Like, it can't get me amped up like I was when I was 20-something years old. Or I'm about to go in a Waka and play a game in front of 20,000 people. So I got to be real selective when I listen to those classics.
You bring that out. It's my birthday.
Right. Like every time, like, we fly in to LA, play Lakers or Clippers, I might put on my West Coast playlist. But, other than that, man, I'm 45. I got to listen to something a little bit more mellow. But again, like, those are, in those times, if you could grow up in those times of that G-Funk Death Row era, you know what I mean? I had a firsthand tour of everything that was going on, like, in my city. It was just a whole different vibe, man, growing up in that 90s era in Long Beach. And, that inspired me to do great things, too, because now that I'm playing basketball, I want to push the line to be somebody from my city to do what they're doing. And, I felt that, I did everything that I could, especially being over in Europe and winning championships. Accolades, and so every time you hear about, oh, that's Mike Batiste, where you from, they go, hey, I'm from Long Beach City.
Long Beach.
That means a lot to me. I tatted that on my forearm, when I was in Italy, because I knew the journey that I was embarking on was going to be difficult, and I might have to say bye to, my city and a lot of friends to embark on this journey. And once I made that sacrifice and commitment, there was no looking back. It was looking forward. So, I mean, the city is always with me, man, everywhere I go. Even when I, touch down and tap in with a lot of people from back in the day, man, it's still love.
That's love, man. That's love, man. The last question I have for you, talked about the journey, you talked about your overseas life. Like I said, it's been a minute since you've been over here, but what is the one thing that you miss about overseas life?
I think the simplicity, saying of just life, being in Europe, it's a total different world. I think you can find just being that you want in Europe, And I think, being in Athens for so long, you want the fast life, you want the slow, chill life, you can get that as well. And I think I got the best sides of both, I was young when I got to Athens, and, I grew up, I became a grown man there. I found a different way to chill and to be in peace. So I just think the simplicity of life up over there, is something that I really miss. The food, the people, it's a lot of things that's tied into it. But, living here in America, it's a fast life. You got to keep up with a lot of things. But I think, in Europe, you live the speed that you want. Nobody really cares about it. So that's one thing that I miss. But, we're all humans. We all adapt to to our environment. And, I'm back in America now, man. So, I'm back to being more American than European now. But, I still, have European roots, and that's never going to leave
me. Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, stepping into the quarter with me. Best of luck to you and the Rockets. But like I said, man, like, Jameel, I mean, you're the gold, you're the legend, man. Like I said, man, you were the person that I was chasing my whole entire career. Everybody was always talking about Mike Batiste. So, man, I appreciate you. Appreciate all the things that you brought to the table. Appreciate all the doors that you opened up, all the trails that you helped lay for not only for me, but for all American players, man. You're well respected, highly regarded, and I think you're somebody that is an amazing human being and has done so many great things for all of us, man. So I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate that, man. It's like coming into this game, you don't know how many people you're going to inspire, what change you're going to set. And to see you, take the torch and run with it and even surpass me. A lot of people don't know, like, I have 3 titles, you got 4. So now you done set the trend, for somebody else to look at you now and be like, hey, I want to be that guy. So, I appreciate you, man, just taking the torch and just carrying the game for us in the right way, man. So, like, big up to you as well, man.
Thank you. EuroLeague fans, thank you for tuning in to another episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. Take care. Peace.
Peace.